Hello and welcome to the Aldi's Christmas podcast with me, Harry Mount, editor of the Aldi magazine. We've got a wonderful double header in this Christmas issue. First of all, Rachel Johnson, a seasoned party goer, on tips for how to survive Christmas parties. And then the great Nikki Haslam on how to have a very uncommon Christmas. We'll start with tips for Christmas parties. Rachel, actually, the impression is you don't really enjoy Christmas parties. Is that fair enough?
I don't like Christmas parties, and I don't like Christmas creep. I mean, I don't like getting invitations for Christmas parties in August, particularly.
Yeah.
I don't like the way Christmas has escalated into a sort of half-yearly trauma, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't like themed parties, particularly, and Christmas is very thematic.
So you don't really like anything about Christmas?
Not particularly. I think I'm very un-Christmassy because... I'm a child of divorced parents, and so we were shuffled and shunted between two turkey dinners, neither of which was very well cooked, because neither of my parents are interested in food. The whole thing was just unspeakable.
And I know you get tired of talking about your famous family, but what were the Johnson Christmases like? Lots of mutual showing off?
Well, I think I really went off Father Christmas when my Uncle Pete, of blessed memory now, sadly, was once delegated to be Father Christmas, and I think I was about six. And the thing about Father Pete, Uncle Pete, was he was highly intelligent but a paranoid schizophrenic, and we were very frightened of him. And I woke up to see him lowering over my bed with a great Peter Sutcliffe style beard, holding my own stocking, and I really haven't recovered from it.
I can see why. The other thing you say in your brilliant piece is there's nothing worse than forced jollity. Everything at a good party must be spontaneous. Do you agree?
Yes, completely.
I tend to think that the most fun times, that's one word by the way, for oldie listeners,
yeah,
fun times, are those that happen almost without any planning at all.
Exactly. Yeah.
God, I've got Nikki agreeing with me. And I, you know, the invitations that flood onto the mat, as I said 6 months earlier, just fill me with dread, and you think of ways to get out of them.
That's because people go away for Christmas time. In the old days, you never did. You stayed in London for Christmas and New Year. It was terribly common to go to London for Christmas.
When did the change happen, do you think?
With cheap flights. Because people, everybody now goes, that's why the lights come on in August, because people get more and more geared up to go away.
I see what I see, though. The retail industry is trying to harvest as much Christmas out of everyone as they possibly can.
Exactly.
Before they go and spend their well-earned pounds abroad. Obviously, 20% less of them now after Brexit,
of course,
as it were, after the vote to leave, Harry,
yes,
than there would
have been, Rachel, had
we stayed.
And Nikki says in your piece, there's nothing more common than a hot Christmas abroad, particularly with the presents or gifts wrapped in the back of the Gulf Stream. I believe, Rachel, you've been on a hot Christmas, have you?
I did have Christmas in Kenya. And I remember sitting with the Douglas Hamiltons around in their pad around Lake Naivasha, eating a sort of broiling hot day with sort of hippos frolicking in the lake.
Funny, I might go to Kenya for Christmas.
Breaking
your rule.
Dodo's just asked me.
Oh, well, I love Dodo, and you can stay in Dodo's pagoda, which is what we did afterwards.
But I don't think it matters going to a hot place, provided you don't treat it as Christmas. You just go to a hot place and you think you're having June in London.
The problem is...
You don't have Christmas trees and turkey and things.
But the problem is the Brits do. They have crackers.
I'm not about the Brits.
What about the stylish parties of your youth, Nikki, in your teens and 20s in London and New York? What were the best Christmas parties? Well, they were not even Christmas parties.
There were great New Year's Eve parties. Bunny Roger had this extraordinary New Year's Eve party every year, which was unbelievable. People made huge efforts, and he had the house redecorated. It was all wonderful.
In London, that famous couturier, Bunny Roger,
And then the great Christmas Eve party, New Year's Eve party in New York, was Kitty Miller, the famous old heiress. Kitty Bates, she was born, Jules Bates' daughter. And she used to have a famous New Year's Eve party, which was, I mean, gold dust to get into.
And what made it so enjoyable?
The people. Famous people.
Oh, I'm a huge...
Even if you're famous like Nikki Haslam and Rachel Johnson.
No, nothing...
We weren't then, anyway.
Yeah, nothing fills me with more champagne bubbles than the sight of a famous face.
I tell you,
gives a very good Christmas party, actually, is Evgeny Lebedev.
Oh, really? You Where's see, that held?
At his apartment in here.
A lot of celebs.
I sadly...
Very solid celebs. You can't believe it.
No, it's like Madame Tussauds, isn't it? I mean, everyone is famous.
How funny. And if you're there, you must be as well.
No, but I used to be invited to Yevgeny's Christmas, and actually other parties, but I've fallen off the list, and I'm not sure why. I could say something, but it might be actionable.
Now, when you get on to parties...
Why won't Nikki to admit that Christmas parties are common?
I think Christmas parties that are given for Christmas are common.
Right.
Not necessarily parties near Christmas. It's a common thing.
So don't put Christmas on the invitation.
Yeah, don't have anything to do with it. Just,
And hours, 6:30 to 8:30?
Oh, late.
Really?
Nine, after dinner, much more fun.
But what do you put on the invitation? I always think if you put seven onwards or nine onwards,
don't
know when Nikki Haslam and Rachel Johnson are going to turn up.
Well, after nine.
Yes, but it could be 11 or 3 in the morning.
Well, fine, we'll stick it out.
Wait.
And if it's good, we'll stay anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to wait for just for us, are you?
What do you do about the problem of everyone having a Christmas party on the same night, or having four in a night, which I know it's a problem I suffer from.
Yes. Come on, they aren't very good ones. Who cares? Let people get into them.
But do you do a drive-by, keep a car waiting? And what tell oldie listeners how the real pros do it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't go for them.
Yes, you do, Nikki,
I don't go for those hundreds of ones.
But what about if you said slightly different, you're going to dinner with, let's say, Stephen Fry, and then you get invited by the Queen, and you have to chuck Stephen Fry. What's the approach? What do you do?
Chuck Stephen Fry.
Yeah. But how do you do it? Give him a ring, say he'd understand.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen Fry chucked poor Sir David Tang, so I had to stand in at the last notice. So, you know, do as you would be done
by. A dying Sir David
by.
Tang, yeah.
A dying Sir David Tang as well, yes.
Now, we're on the subject of parties full of interesting people. The other side of interesting people is boring
people.
But I don't
think necessarily the Christmas parties have interesting people.
Okay.
They have their friends. It's so boring.
Right.
Okay. It's actually boring friends.
Okay, well, I was just about to ask about that. What do you do with boring people? Boring person comes up to you and says, "Hi, Nikki. Hi, Rachel. I bloody love you. You're marvellous." But you find them boring.
I don't have a clue who they are.
Yeah.
I think, actually, I've got a feeling you could always get something interesting out of everybody if you try hard enough.
I never believe that, but yeah.
I do.
Really?
I've found a
But do you try,
deal.
Though?
Yeah, for a bit.
Rachel, yeah. I've seen you do ruthless withdrawal from bores.
I do ruthless culling.
If it's a known bore, I mean an unknown bore. An unknown person comes to us.
You give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, give them a chance.
10 seconds?
No.
20, yeah.
10 minutes.
I find I have triggers, and one of my triggers is if anybody mentions my older brother to me before, they say something pleasant about me, as a sort of pleasantry to get out of the way, as a preamble, and I literally give them a cold stare,
and then
they know that there's no coming back from it, usually. You know, "Hi Rachel, it's so lovely to see you." I do think that Boris is having a terribly hard time at the moment. I'm such a fan, you know.
Yes.
I just, you know, what are they expecting me to say?
Yeah.
But so, Nikki, although you find Christmas parties common, you presumably force yourself to go along to a few of them, do you?
I'll go to the ones I think are interesting.
Which ones are you going to go to this year?
I'll go to Jemima's.
Me too.
Yeah.
Hashtag me too.
Much more important than me too.
And I suppose Gary Kemp, so I love Gary.
Is he the Simple Minds one? I think
Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet. And he's got the most beautiful house with wonderful pictures.
Oh, really?
He's got a great taste.
What sort of theory?
Fitzroy Square, modern, 1900 onwards English.
Oh, really?
God, how lovely.
Lovely buildings.
Wonderful furniture. He's got a great taste.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, yeah.
He's got that very handsome brother.
What do you think of Jemima's house, Kiddington?
Well, I've only seen it at parties.
Really? I think it worked.
It works for a party very well.
It's
there's
a wonderful
huge
party,
fires
yes.
and big rooms.
Yeah. The enfilade.
Yeah.
Well, now, there's a terrible problem with being an oldie is constantly thinking the past was better. Do you think parties were better in the past? Forget Christmas, generally.
Yes, they were.
Oh, I think parties are better now.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Very much.
Why were they better, do you think, Nikki?
Kind of way. There were fewer of them, and we weren't so jaded. And people made wonderful efforts at parties in those days. It was, and people dress beautifully and look beautifully. Now people don't even dress to go to look at Rachel. This shit.
Disgraceful.
Going to the National Gallery like that.
Rachel's wearing an extremely smart jacket and a sort of blouse.
She looks divine.
Yeah.
She's going to buy one of my Primark scarves in a minute.
I know. Yeah. All it needs is a Primark scarf. I think Nikki has a point. I think if you break them down, there are more parties, there's more champagne, there are more people, there are more celebrities. As a result...
But they aren't real celebrities, is the problem.
Yes, you don't have real sort of Hollywood A-list golden, you know, the age of... What do you call it? The age of what? You know, Gloria Swanson or, you know...
That era
of a sort of... Real true stardom has passed.
Well, stars aren't allowed to go out anymore. Their studios won't let them.
Really?
Yeah, they're all controlled. Their time slot to see people out of their world is completely controlled by the studio. I mean, Tom Cruise is allowed to go out once every 10 years, as you might say something.
Well, really, I didn't know they were still so controlled.
They're much more controlled than they ever were, because there's so many photographers. After them and
well, you see, everyone's got an iPhone, so there is no privacy.
There were no photographers at the party before. That's what made them.
And actually,
sort of fascinating for memory rather than really for.
Right.
You know. I think that the best parties I've been to recently, there have been no photographers and no photography people with their iPhones, and it gives a different atmosphere.
And the super celebs don't go for selfies.
Won't go because of the photographs.
Yeah.
Because the studio will say you don't do good enough.
Whereas it was, Nikki, you wrote an extremely good I Once Met for the Oldie Early this year about meeting in the same evening Louis Armstrong, Frank Sinatra.
Well, I met them before, but I hadn't met Martin Luther King until that
And meeting. Martin Luther King all in one go. And actually, here are three very famous people. Martin Luther King, politically very important. No bodyguards around.
No, nothing. Yeah. People didn't have any kind of bodyguards.
Yeah, you go straight up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they came up to us. But it was Lena Horne, so producer.
And Rachel, you say in your piece, you pick out all the horrors of Christmas parties, but at the end you say, and yet I always go, and I'm the same. I spend my whole time criticising people, but go to anything.
You've got a Christmas party coming.
Sorry?
You've got a Christmas party.
Yes, exactly, the oldie Christmas party.
Can I just...
Yes. Thank God everyone here is invited.
You've got to do something about the lights in that room. You have to get somebody going to put side lights on, and not the, they
can't have overhead
lights. They kill parties. People want to leave immediately.
You can't have overhead lights. You just can't.
No, but tell me why. No, I'm just interested.
Because people look horrible.
Oh, do they?
You just don't want to be in a room with overhead lights.
You have to put side lights on.
Okay,
especially at our age, Harry.
Rent a few lights and just wash the walls. It cost you tuppence.
Right, right.
No,
it's unbearable.
No, it's good. I'll have a word with the Garrick. Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't do it. Let's put your own stuff in.
Right. No, they might well do it. You could say, you know.
Yeah. We're actors.
Put in a few, yes. We've got two very famous people coming. But Rachel, you're like me, you know.
I have to go if I'm asked. I just feel that, you know, what if I miss something? I have FOMO, fear of missing out.
Or you could call it curiosity.
I do go if I've said I'd go.
That's very polite.
I don't cut.
Yeah. I sometimes do cut.
No, I don't.
And what about holding parties? Do you both hold parties?
Christmas parties, never.
No. Nikki? No, never
on Christmas. Right. For the reasons we said before.
Well, the party's nice for the summer.
Yeah.
I think we should get Nikki to say how to have an uncommon Christmas.
Yes, we'll move on to the actual day. Basically, your wonderful article, Nikki, is describing a Christmas in the country in a slightly nice, run-down, smart, grand house somewhere.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
ideal.
Well, there's a lot of one's memories of Christmas, isn't it, really? I mean... And the children sort of fairly kept out of the way.
Yeah.
Just with a lot of time to do their horrible things.
I had all a bit chaotic, people doing last minute wrapping of presents.
Well, and I put that in because there's nothing more annoying than saying to your host when you arrive, have you got any wrapping paper and sellotape? It's the most annoying thing in the world.
Right, right. And in your brilliant piece you talk about bringing, meaning to bring a Stilton to spend Christmas. The question of house presents common or not?
Think at Christmas you have to.
You have to.
Bring a present, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's unnecessary just for a weekend.
If you're having a family Christmas in the country, you just bring presents for
everybody.
Your family members and the housekeeper or whatever and the garden. And then everybody contributes a large comestible, or the drinks, yeah. or does the wine, or the turkey, or the cheese.
Takes them out to lunch.
Yeah, or brings a ham, or has a ham scent, even better.
Yeah.
And very important question, decorations for the tree. You say candy cane, not common.
I don't think any old thing bunged onto it looks nice, and especially if it can't have coloured lights.
Do you have lights
white,
at all, though?
White lights are nice. Pretty. I mean, you just can't say candles anymore. It's too dangerous.
Tinsel?
Maybe the best of all.
Tinsel?
Yes. Yeah. Everything like that.
Yeah.
Even cotton wool.
I have a horror of Christmas music, which I think has inoculated me against the joys of Christmas.
Yes.
So, and also my worst idea of a complete nightmare is Christmas music playing at a Christmas party. Now this will get me sacked, but Claudia Rothermere is Camille Claridge's Christmas party where she has carol singers who singing round the festive Yule.
And as you say in the article, your very good list of items, Yule log, just no.
No, but the thing is, Claudia's not having this year, so I hope she realises how thrilled I was to be invited in previous years.
There's no coming back from that, yeah.
I was always quite surprised, but the carol singers were always in a sort of ante room, but you know, she took over the whole of the ground floor of Claridge's, so you had to walk past them as they were carolling away merrily.
Oh, yes. Lovely Victorian urchins.
Carols are sort of annoying tunes, aren't they? I mean, Silent Night, Holy Night's the most beautiful tune ever written, that's as simple as that. But
I know.
Only sing that.
Oh,
God rest you, Mary Devon.
Silent.
Actually, on Christmas songs, and Nikki, again, you wrote an absolutely marvellous article this year for the Aldi about meeting and knowing Cole Porter very well, and you now sing his songs in cabaret. Any of those great American standards good as Christmas songs?
Well, White Christmas is a magical song.
Yeah.
It's been overdone, but it's a fabulous tune.
No, the Christmas songbook is wonderful, but what I hate is Christmas pop songs.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Noddy Holder and Slade and all those Christmas hits that come out. And I think that they've now banned them in shops because it's been established it drives the shop assistants mad.
John Lewis are having them for the first year.
I know. Also, Christmas ads are awful too. I mean, just hideous. More.
There's been a new cult of that, hasn't there?
Yeah.
What about our dear royal family open their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve?
It's because they're German,
common.
Obviously. No, it's
common
they're
or
German,
or both?
Common. Not common. My husband, who hails from a much grander stock than I do, because I'm a Turkish-German immigrant, he has his tradition is that they open a very special present from each other, one. They single each other out and they
not
hand each other.
Not involving the Turkish German.
Russian.
Yeah.
Just the Fabergé, you
know. Just the Fabergé. Yeah.
Is the Turkish German kept out of this interchange?
Yeah, we have a DIY Christmas on Christmas Day, actually. Yeah.
And
I think you open the money if you feel like it. I mean, when they're suits.
But I have a. Can I just carry on?
Well, it depends on the children, too. They can't open it.
Can I carry on negging? Because my other dark secret is I hate presents. And I hate.
Giving or receiving?
I hate anything big coming into the house. None of us have enough room. And my idea of hell is seeing somebody arriving with an enormous estate car piled high with wrapped presents.
More rubbish.
Which I have to find place for.
Yeah.
I just can't
giving,
stand
you're a generous
it.
Person, Rachel. Giving? Do you like
giving? My idea of a present is someone coming to my house and taking something away.
Right.
That would give me more pleasure. Yeah, decluttering.
Do your children get anything? A sort of small, tiny bauble?
No, they do. They do. Of course they do. Yeah. They just want vouchers from
clothes.
Westfield.
Well.
And Christmas lunch. Jeff Bernard, the late Jeff Bernard, said he thought the worst expression in the English language was turkey with all the trimmings. do you agree, Nikki?
Well, it's a sort of cliche, but people wouldn't use it.
Yeah. But what about should one have turkey with all the trimmings?
I thought King's the aim of the worst phrase in the English language. Shall we go straight into dinner?
Or red or white, the other
red
one.
Red or chicken or beef.
Oh, you never say red wine, you know that?
It's only wine.
White. wine or white wine. You That's never say red wine.
Way of catching people.
And also, Nikki once told me you don't say rosé, you say pink wine.
Yeah.
I also hate, okay, these are more hates. I hate people saying bubbly when they're
still sparkly.
No, don't.
What about bubbles for champagne?
No, people say bubbly when it's actually Prosecco or Cava.
Yeah.
How dare they? If they say, would you like some bubbly, I grab the bottle and I look at the label and I say, no thanks.
It's very good with that, it's a very good mixer.
Is it?
Good with much better than orange juice.
It's very good, much better than Bellini's with peach.
And also an anonymous informant who I'll tell you after.
Always peach.
With always Prosecco.
Our anonymous informant tells me you've often objected to the temperature of champagne at some parties as well. Is that right?
Yes, my princessness knows no bounds when it comes to the temperature of my drinks.
Yeah.
Coffee has to be extremely hot, so hot that I once asked for a hipster. I once went to a hipster coffee shop and I said, "Can I have a 2-shot flat white, extra hot?" And they said, "No." And I said, "Why not?" And they say, "We do not serve coffee extra hot." And I said, "Well, I want it extra hot." Yes. And they said, "Well, you can go somewhere else. It is an insult to the bean."
Oh no.
Brilliant.
I thought it was a
good column material.
You might spill it on somebody else.
So, but champagne has to be extremely cold. Don't you agree? Otherwise it's undrinkable.
The
Nikki?
Food shouldn't be too hot.
No. It should
very
be tiered.
Common hot food.
Hot plates common?
No, I love hot plates.
Hot food is common.
What about church or...
Do
you know why it's common?
What?
It showed the kitchen was too near the dining room. It smells.
Church on Christmas Day, Jesus Christ common?
Oh no,
Lord Jesus Christ, Day. Second son of a marquis. Or
well, no, we do midnight mass actually.
Yeah,
Ivo's family being posh.
Ivo.
Yeah. I like getting church out of the way.
Yeah.
And then having stockings and eating chocolate coins in bed on Christmas morning.
Yes.
With my children.
Someone's rather tired to go to midnight mass because of the freezing rain and the howling wind and the 10-mile drive to Aberfeldy Baptism and College or something. You get crawled into a room.
Christmas walk?
Yes, I'm in favour. It gets dark so early on Christmas Day. It's sort of dark by 3 o'clock.
Where do you fit it in?
We're Johnsons. We're in a league of our own.
Yeah.
A league of awfulness.
There's a very difficult period I find between Christmas and New Year's Eve. What do you do the whole time?
Well, nobody stays that long
of time. You have to move around. You move between...
But that was what was so wonderful in the old days, because you look forward to New Year's Eve more than anything.
Right.
You spent those 3 days tidying your costumes.
Now, Annabelle Sampson, the digital end of the oldie, who is much, much younger than anyone here. Any questions for me?
Hypothetical question. Would you rather go to a glittering party at San Marco in Venice, lit by candles, with really boring, dull people, or go to your old school canteen with the best people in the world?
Best people in school canteen, I'm afraid.
I might want to see San Marco lit by candlelight, rather beautiful.
And avoid the bores, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah. One, as Diana Cooper said, you could always leave.
You'd go to San Marco.
I think so.
The experience.
Yeah.
I'd go to my old school canteen.
No, but you see them any old time. They all got there for Christmas. A, drunk, and B, only talking about boring things.
All right, I'll go to San Marco, but as long as you're there, Nikki.
Yes, okay.
And then stop being boring.
Separate from my fiance.
Should we make the announcement? Yeah, or as Boris famously said, no such things as disasters, only opportunities, and opportunities for fresh disasters.
On that note, thank you so much to Nikki Hazem and Rachel Johnson, who have written terrific articles for the Christmas Oldie.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Readers and hearers and lovers everywhere.